Good evening. Grateful to welcome you to Grace Bible Church this evening. Many of you are visiting with us. We're so glad that you're here. We're very quickly going to transition right to our lectures this evening. And so I just want to introduce to you my friend Chaz Morse, who is the Director of Programming and Events and I don't know, whatever else your official title is, at Institute for Creation Research. And so Chaz, come on up and tell us what we're going to do this evening.
You can use the stairs, or you can just jump up. All right. Very
welcome. Thank you. I know I'm getting old. I have a senior citizen card right now, and so anyway, no. So good to be here. Thank you so much for hosting us here this day. It's been such a pleasure. I'm going to make this very quick because I want you to have the time with both of our incredible scientists this evening. I just wanted to remind you a few things. We have Acts and Facts, which is a magazine that's paid for by our donors. This is an incredible magazine, and this allows us to continue to disciple you with biblical creation. So make sure you are signed up for this, and when you sign up tonight, you will also get this really cool book on 32 questions, the most asked questions on creation. And if you're already getting Acts and Facts, go ahead and grab one of these anyway tonight. So please do that. We really, really urge you to do that. So please sign up this sheet. So that's number one. So let me do that. Also, we have some incredible resources. Dr. Clary wrote a book on dinosaurs, and this is really jam-packed with incredible science that really shows you how science complements and affirms what we see in the written Word of God. So we have that, and maybe Dr. Clary might even sign this book for you tonight if you really ask him nicely, right, Dr. Clary? And he's got his pen, so he's all ready. We also have a four-set DVD set on the dinosaurs that we just published this around Christmas time. It's a four DVD set. It is incredible. It's on dinosaurs and has all the things that that has been recently uncovered, including soft tissue and other things. And then Dr. Cleary spoke last month of in Amarillo, and we have that DVD as well on some of the newer evidences that that he has been working on in his project. So we have that right there. And Dr. Galusa, we have two of his books, 20 Evolutionary Blunders, it's back there, and Clearly Seen, Constructing Solid Arguments for Design, and one of Dr. Galusa's recent presentations that he did up in Amarillo. We have that on DVD form. So I just wanted to kind of let you know that we have those resources. And if you don't have any other type of creation resource in your library, this Creation Basics and Beyond is really an in-depth look at science, origins, and evolution. This is the one that we hand out at pastors' conferences across the United States, at Shepherd's, any type of pastors' conference we go to. This is kind of the book that you should have on your shelf, and it's written by all of our scientists, and it goes more in-depth, but it has really good answers in biology, in geology, and all those other sciences. So we have that as well. We are an equipping ministry, and so it's we don't make money, per se, off these resources. It's our goal to get them into your hands so that you can use them when you're sharing and when you're presenting Christ. These questions come up all the time. Well, what about Noah's Ark? What about dinosaurs? What about evolution? And we want you to be able to have those answers, so we are an equipping ministry. Let me tell you a little bit about both your speakers tonight so I don't have to get up here again so you can hear them. Tim Clary received a Master's of Science in Geology in 1984 from the University of Wyoming and a Master of Science in Hydrogeology in 1993 from Western Michigan University. His Ph.D. in Geology was received in 1996 from Western Michigan University. And from 1984 to 1992, he worked as an exploration geologist at Chevron, USA. And we have really benefited from that because it's that very information that he's gleaned that's gone into a lot of the recent studies that he has done. I could go on and on about Dr. Clary, but in 2013, he joined the science staff at the Institute for Creation Research, and I am just so thankful that I have the opportunity to work with this dear brother in Christ. And he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves the Word of God. And he is, when you go by his office and you start asking him questions, you will never get out of his office because he loves telling everyone about what God is revealing to him in the area of science. Dr. Randy Galusa, you'll be hearing him after the break tonight. And he's represented ICR in several scientific debates. The most recent one he did in Southern California was Sean McDowell. And it was just an incredible debate. You can actually Google it and listen to it online. It's actually posted at Sean McDowell's website. And I really challenge you to listen to that. It's just incredible. He has a BS in engineering from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, a BA in theology from Moody Bible Institute. He has an MD from the University of Minnesota and a Master of Public Health from Harvard University. He says he served in the Navy for a number of years, but then he came to his senses, and after a number of years, he retired as a lieutenant colonel from the United States Air Force, where he served at the 28th Bomb Wing, flight surgeon and chief of aerospace medicine, and flew a lot of really cool Air Force aircraft, which I never knew about, including the B-1, T-38, F-15, and F-16, and I never knew that. Plus a couple of helicopters that he told us today that they wouldn't let him fly. But anyway, he's an author of a number of books, and we have several of them back there. So for first person, we are going to introduce Dr. Clary, and I will shut up, and you won't see me anymore at this podium. Dr. Clary.
Yeah. I didn't know there were steps. I thought that was just one big step. You know, in Texas, where we live now, everything's bigger. But I think you got us beat. That's the biggest step I've seen. Well, anyway, Chaz gave a great introduction. He kind of embarrasses me. But, you know, I really do have the best job in the world. I get to tell people that God's word is true. And the research that I'm doing, I'm not going to be talking too much about that tonight. It's in that video. But what I really do and spend most of my time doing is plotting up oil well data all over the world and showing what the rocks are and what the rocks really show. And so if we get welcome to come back here next year, I'll be giving that talk for y'all. But it'll be out there. You can buy this a DVD of it that just came out. Literally just came off the press. We just got them in like after I left. And so Chaz brought them with us. So it's pretty timely if you want to hear more about that. So tonight, though, the timing is perfect again because what movie's coming out this month? Jurassic World. So we get to watch dinosaurs run around, and scare people, and act wrong. Because much of what they act like and what they look like and what they behave like is a figment of human imagination. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's lots of fables that are mixed in this movie and in all the books and in all the science books and many, many things. For many years, I taught an introductory science class on dinosaurs at a college level up in Michigan. And that course, I put a lot of that into that book we'll talk a little bit about later, but a lot of that's in here as well. And so I tried to look at both sides of the issues. And when it came right down to it, everything fit exactly with what God said, that he made them separate kinds, that there's no evolution of dinosaurs into birds and all that. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit tonight in our presentation. I don't know if you want to call it a lecture or not, but it'll be a little entertaining. There's some pictures of dinosaurs, and there's some action shots, and there's a few little kids in there, my daughter when she was little, as we move along. But one of the questions, there's my daughter there now. On her trip to Wyoming to dig dinosaurs, a lot of people wonder, you know, because they see in the movies, and they'll say this in Jurassic World, you know, dinosaurs are 68 million years old or 66 million years old or 120 or whatever the case is. And so a lot of Christians are kind of caught. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what to believe, you know, is science right? And, you know, does my Bible maybe need to be adjusted? You know, we're here tonight to tell you you don't have to adjust your Bible. Science is wrong in many cases. Just because it's the majority doesn't make it right. So we're going to look at the facts tonight. We're going to look at rocks as much as possible. People also wonder, didn't dinosaurs live before humans? Because that's what you're told all the time in school. That's what you're told in college. That's what you're told at a lot of Christian colleges even. They'll teach evolution as well. So you got to be very, very careful where you send your kids off, your grandkids, where they go to school. You need to be equipped with what is really the truth. And that's it. At ICR, that's what we try to give you guys, the materials and the lectures and the talks to tell you what really is the truth. And the truth is found in the rocks. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So dinosaurs did not live before humans. Dinosaurs were made just before Adam, maybe minutes. But ultimately, they were made on the same day, as we'll see, on day six. And so the Bible says this. God created on day six, he made the beast of the earth according to its kind. So you're wondering, well, it doesn't say dinosaur. Well, we'll see why in a minute. The word dinosaur wasn't invented at the time the Bible was translated, as we'll see. But it does talk about the beast of the earth and all the animals that walked on land were made on day six along with Adam and Eve. And then you have dinosaurs were created to eat plants. Originally, T-Rex ate plants. We know from the fossils that they did eat each other. We find the teeth embedded in bones of animals that were alive and they healed over. Just like if you put something in a tree and it kind of heals over things, we can actually find T-Rex teeth now that have been found in dinosaurs that they healed from the injury. They didn't always kill them. But eventually, after Adam and Eve sinned, the animals started eating each other. And they started turning on each other. And the whole world became evil, not just the humans. There was a lot of evil in the world. And that's why God regretted that he made all the animals and humans. He brought on the judgment of the flood. Dinosaurs were on the ark. People wonder, well, how come they weren't there? Didn't they all die in the flood? No. There were two of every kind brought on the ark, the Bible tells us in Genesis 6:20. It says that creatures that moved along the ground, two of every kind. Dinosaurs moved on the ground, so they were brought on the ark as well. And everything on land that wasn't on the ark perished. So that's where you see those fossils of dinosaurs, as we'll be looking at tonight. The fossils are created by the flood, as we'll see. So you wonder, is the ark big enough? The ark was huge. If you get a chance to go to Kentucky, you can see Ken Ham's big ark out there. I got a chance to do that. It's incredible to see. It's like going to the mountains. You know, you can't really imagine it until you see it, until you get there. Pictures don't do justice, but the ark was huge, 450 feet long, approximately 75 feet wide and 45 feet high, three levels. Plenty of room for thousands and thousands of animals. And we actually did the math. My colleague and I, Jeff Tompkins at ICR, did the math finally. Looked through 350 dinosaurs that had good bone leg measurements and estimated the average dinosaur adult weight or adult mass was about the same as an American bison. So when you see the buffalo running around, think about that's the average dinosaur adult size. There were small ones, there were big ones, and everything in between. But that's the adult size. On the ark, God probably brought juveniles. So when he brought the animals to the ark, he probably brought more sheep-sized average size dinosaurs. So you didn't need big cages for a huge sauropod that would run from the tip of this room to the back of the room. Those types of animals were probably hundreds of years old. Those weren't brought on the ark, probably. Small ones are probably brought on. And there's only about 60 kinds of dinosaurs. And we'll talk more about this later as well. There's really not, even though there's 1,500 dinosaurs named, paleontologists name everything that's different a new species. So if they found the fossil bones of a poodle and the fossil bones of a St. Bernard, they would name them two separate species because they look different. You look at the bone structure, they look different. So that's a new species. But in reality, we know they're the same species. They're all part of the dogs. And so dinosaurs are the same way. There's only about 60 kinds of dinosaurs, just lots of variety. God built lots of diversity. And Randy will talk about that next. All the design that God put into our DNA that gives us all the diversity. So we all look around the room, we all look a little different. You know, they find my bones and Randy's bones, they would name us different species probably, right? So we're like, well, maybe not different. But it comes down to the worldview again. When you look at the rocks, when you look at the fossils, what's your worldview going in? And if you want to reject God's word, that's what a lot of the scientists do. A lot of scientists are shooting towards the atheism. Explain everything without a God. Push God out of the picture. Let's see if we can explain it all. And they try and try and try. They say everything continues as it has from the beginning. There's no beginning and no end. When they look at geology, they look out there and they say, oh, the rocks have always done the same thing over and over. There's always been volcanoes. There's always been rivers. There's always been some little floods. They just don't believe in a global flood. But yet my evidence is showing there was a global flood. If you're a Christian, like me, you look at God's word and you realize God's word is true. It says in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and all that's in them. But the secular scientists hold to this philosophy of uniformitarianism, or this religion of uniformitarianism, where everything's uniform, nothing ever changes. The earth's existed for billions of years, they tell us. And dinosaurs are millions of years old, they tell us. But we'll see how true that is. It's not true at all. 2 Timothy 4:4, God warns us, and he says, and they shall turn their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And if you read the fine print there, it says the Greek word for fables is the plural form of mythos, where we get our word myth. So we're going to look at some of these myths tonight. We're going to look at myths that are being taught and spread by movies like Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, in your textbooks, in your TV shows, the Discovery Channel, National Geographic. All these organizations are pushing you away from God, pushing you towards that, those secular lies and stories that they have to make up. They have to make up an alternative story to the story that God's Word tells us in the Bible. They have to come up with their own ideas. And unfortunately, that's become mainstream science. So we need to just kind of squeeze some of that out like a sponge soaked in uniformitarianism. That's our world today. All of our TV shows, our movies, everything except Fred Flintstone. That was a pretty good show because they have humans and dinosaurs living together. But other than that, most of the other shows are showing, you know, humans and dinosaurs live millions of years apart from each other. But Fred Flintstone, I think, had it right all along. But we need to just kind of squeeze it out. And there I am when I was much younger and actually had a nice dark mustache with some of my students digging in Wyoming. But it's all about the rocks. In all seriousness, it's all about the rocks. What do we find in the rocks? What do the rocks really show? They don't show a story. They tell us facts. And the facts, depending on your worldview, is going to let you judge, you know, which side you fall on. Do you want to believe God's word is true? Or do you want to believe in man's philosophy and man's story and reject God's word? This is why dinosaur is not in the Bible. So you'll see things like dragon. You'll see behemoth. You'll see all these terms that are probably dinosaurs in the Bible. But you won't see the word dinosaur because the word dinosaur wasn't coined until 1841 by that happy-looking guy over there. I don't know what it is about the 19th century. They didn't like to smile. Pictures took too long or something. But that's Sir Richard Owen. He was an English anatomist. And he was the world-renowned anatomist at the time and saw more bones than anything. And he realized that, you know, these are a separate type of animal that walked erect. So you can see on the right, the left side, dinosaurs with their legs coming straight down like the way you and I walk and the way mammals walk and elephants walk and hippos. Legs come straight down. So there's holes in the hip sockets. Whereas lizards and reptiles today, like turtles, they sprawl. And crocodiles, their legs come up to the side and they sprawl. They drag their bellies in the mud and the dirt. Dinosaurs didn't. We find footprints of dinosaurs. There's no tail dragging. There's no belly dragging. Except in one or two cases where they're walking knee-deep in mud. But most times, there's just footprints, as we'll see. So that's the reason why a dinosaur is not in your Bible. The Bible was translated in 1611, King James. And then that was before, 200 years before dinosaur term came out of the scientific world. So we're going to look at these myths tonight. Four basic points we're trying to get to. That was a long intro. But we're going to get there. Buried slowly. Dinosaurs are buried slowly. All fossils are formed slowly, they tell you. Although sometimes that's changing now a little bit. Secondly, they tell you this myth that dinosaurs have ancestors. You can tell where they came from. If you look deeper in the rocks, oh, here's the ancestors of all these things. Well, we'll take a look at that tonight and see what we really see. And then this is what you'll hear, even in Jurassic World in the movies, that dinosaurs evolved into birds. That's been around for 100 years or more. We're going to look at the evidence. Did they really turn into birds? And then here's the new numbers now. They just came out a few weeks ago. Dinosaurs are supposed to go back 232 million years ago and went extinct 66 million years ago. You know, that may change again in the future. That's the story that you're being taught in the secular schools and the secular textbooks in Jurassic World. They'll sneak those millions of years in there. You just watch. Just like the last one. Chris Pratt's in there talking about 68 million years ago right off the bat. They sneak that in all the time, and that's what you guys need to be prepared to watch for. Watch for these myths. So let's look at the myth that dinosaurs are buried slowly. This is a quote from Bob Bakker's book, The Dinosaur Heresies, in 1987. He says, after 6 months or a year or two, the monsoon rain return, the level of the lake rises, and spreading a soft blanket of limey mud over the sun-dried bodies of dinosaurs. So he imagines these dinosaurs die, and they lay around for a year or two, and nothing happens to them. But if you run over an animal, you guys ever hit squirrels in Phoenix? You don't have squirrels here much? Animals? Any animals here that live in the... Run over a lizard, maybe? Run over a lizard and you kill it. What happens to it? And you come back a few weeks later, it's gone. Some scavenger ate it. A bird came by and ate it. Or it rots away. Things don't just lay around for 6 months or a year or two. This is just another fallacy that these guys teach. That things are slow. And this is kind of his rendition. He's a really good artist. He draws the dinosaurs eating a dinosaur, dinosaur burial, torn apart. And then the third part there is kind of miraculous. Suddenly they're buried by something. Wait, they didn't explain how. But when you look at the real truth, and you go to Wyoming like I did with my students, and you dig in these bone beds. The bone bed may be the size of this room, but it's about this thick, and it contains thousands of bones, all tore apart. Very rarely do we find complete dinosaurs. They're all tore apart into pieces, broken bones, all different species, all mixed together like a big log jam of dinosaurs. That's what you find. You don't find complete dinosaurs hardly ever. You find these bone beds. And you go to Dinosaur National Monument, you see the bone beds exposed in that one building, if you've ever been over there, to near Vernal, Utah. Anybody been to Vernal, Utah to see those? It's pretty impressive dinosaurs. And what we find, though, they don't tell you about in the fine print, is we find marine fossils. Marine fossils, ocean fossils mixed in with the dinosaurs. There's actually more marine fossils in the rock unit with the dinosaurs at Dinosaur National Monument than there are dinosaur bones. If you go to the Hell Creek Formation, where they find almost all of our T-Rexes up in eastern Montana, or the Lance Formation in Wyoming. See, some of you kids are hiding yourself. Don't worry, the shark's not, it's the picture. You're getting worried. Anyway, what they found with the T-Rex are 5 species of sharks. This is right out of a secular textbook I used. But they mentioned, how come there's sharks mixed in with the T-Rex? That's kind of weird. You know, ocean animals, ocean fish, crocodiles, dinosaurs, all these things are all mixed together. And as I go around the world, I look at rocks in Europe, and I look at rocks in South America, and I look at the reports coming out of Africa. We see the same thing over and over, constant mixing of dinosaurs and marine animals. This just came out about 2 years ago, National Geographic. Huge Spinosaurus. Some of you might have read that issue or watched the TV show on it. I got to hear the guy speak, Nasir Abraham. He came to Denver and spoke at SMU. He came to Dallas and spoke at SMU. And I asked him afterwards, I said, well, how do you find coelacanths, car-sized coelacanth fish? He said they found with the Spinosaurus. And he said, well, they must have been swimming in rivers, and the Spinosaurus was swimming around and eating things. But I said, coelacanths today live in the ocean, 500 feet down or deeper. They all live in the ocean, in the Indian Ocean, where they found them in both sides of it. 500 feet down, they don't even live near the surface. You pull them up too fast, their eyes crystallize from the pressure drop. Coelacanths are not freshwater fish. And we see this over and over. The scientists twist the truth, where they have the exact same animal fossilized, and they say, oh, back then, it must have been freshwater. You go to the Green River Formation in Wyoming, they see all these herring, millions and millions of herring. Now, all those are freshwater herring. But they look like the same herring that are swimming in the ocean today. But yet they get away with it because they're found with other freshwater animals. So just because this was found with a Spinosaur, they say, oh, those coelacanths were freshwater coelacanths. You see how they twist the truth to fit their story? They're not twisting the truth to fit anything other than what they made up. We see lots of evidence of rapid burial in dinosaurs and animals. And here, this is the Green River Formation, fish eating fish. And we see this ichthyosaur giving live birth, buried so rapidly that they were in the process of burial. These animals were buried. There's several of these where they find, well, these animals were giving live birth. These are reptiles, somewhat like dolphins, but they're reptiles that had to give live birth because they couldn't come on land to lay their eggs. So God designed these to lay live animals. But they're buried so quickly, they're kind of preserving that very moment in time. And this is my favorite, the most amazing discovery of dinosaurs of all, the fighting dinosaurs from Mongolia, found with a Polish expedition in the 1970s. They found a velociraptor, that's what that is, which is only about this big. So again, Jurassic World and Park, they don't tell you the truth. Okay, they're only about that big. And they couldn't steam the windows up either, but that's another story. I believe they're cold-blooded, so it's hard to do that. But anyway, here they are fighting with the Protoceratops, and you can see the arm of the velociraptor is in the mouth of the Protoceratops because it's kind of like a cornered rat. You know, it's going to bite when it has to, but it's really a plant eater. And so this animal, they're fighting away, and then they were buried instantly by some sort of sand wave in that position. You know, to me, that's the most spectacular example of rapid burial I've ever seen. And even the paleontologists admit, these must have been buried fast. You know, they don't believe in a flood, but they think, well, there must have been a dune collapse or something. How many dunes collapse around here? You know, it rained a little bit. You don't see dune collapse. They don't want to admit these are sand waves from the flood. But these things are buried basically, well, you know, like WWE wrestlers fighting in the ring, and all of a sudden, they're buried instantly. Preserved for thousands of years for us to find. Dinosaurs are buried rapidly in the flood. They weren't buried slowly. The evidence is there that everything was buried rapidly. Log jams of bones, you know, whole animals buried and complete. All this stuff happened. So that in myth-busting, dinosaurs and fossils themselves, all fossils form from catastrophic burial. They have to be buried rapid and deep. To preserve anything, you got to bury them deep enough to cut off the oxygen supply. And even then, you mostly preserve the bone parts, the hard parts. Let's move on to our second myth, that dinosaurs had many ancestors. Did they really? Well, let's look at what, and here it is, 2018. Let's see how many ancestors the dinosaurs really had. You hear about it all the time. Let's take a look. There's a picture of my daughter. She's there between the legs somewhere, this sauropod. So we'll look at the sauropods. She's there. The dinosaur kind of gets in the way. But this is a Seismosaurus found in New Mexico. They've got part of this, and they said, well, if you had the whole thing, how big would it be? And it's 131 feet long. Yeah, they've only found part of it because that's the way the flood buried things, ripped them apart. An animal that big got ripped apart in the floodwaters. So let's look at the sauropods. There's six unique, and there's actually more, but we'll stop at six. Six unique features to make it a sauropod or a long neck. You got to have a large body size, because if you got a big long neck and a big long tail, you got to have a big body to support it. So you got to be kind of bulky. You have to have a four-legged stance, because if you're two legs, you're going to fall over a lot with that big neck probably. You have a small head. God designed these with a very small head on the end, because if you had a big head, what are you going to do? Like, ugh, this is too hard. You're just going to lay there. Too much work to lift my head up even. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? You know, God designed them with the perfect size head for their body. 10 or more neck bones. There's no animal today that has 14, 15, 20 neck bones like these things had. None of, all of them had 20 or, you know, 14 or more, or 10 or more. And the tail's balanced just as well. So if the neck's getting big, the tail's got to get big. You can't have just the neck get big and then not the tail. So I had to work both. And then the elongate neck bones, the neck bones were stretched out. And there's even more to it. And they were hollowed out. God hollowed out the vertebrae so that they're light. They're not big, heavy bones. They're hollowed out so they could be big and long and keep those things up and balanced out. Everything about these is perfectly designed. Dr. Galuza could give a whole lecture on the design of these things because he's an engineer. But God engineered these things to work perfectly. And that's why we see thousands of them in the fossil record. But when you look for ancestors, we can find these apatosaurs or brontosaurs in the Jurassic. Most of them are found in the Jurassic. And there's a reason for that, which I don't have time to get into tonight. But we find them in the Jurassic because they couldn't run. These things could walk, but they couldn't run. But eventually the waters overcame them anyway. But we look down the rocks below the Jurassic, we see nothing that resembles a sauropod. We see no half-long necks, no quarter-long necks, no three-quarters-long necks. We see absolutely nothing. So the facts do not lie. In this case, the facts show that there are no ancestors to these things. They just make this up. Paul Sereno, esteemed paleontologist at the University of Chicago, says this. Early on, again, I think researchers and maybe even lay people, that would be you guys, unless you're a professional paleontologist and you snuck in here. I think researchers and even lay people really felt that we had a lot more ancestors in the fossil record than we actually do. We don't have a lot of ancestors. It says we have a lot of twigs. And so they're constantly telling you about all these ancestors of dinosaurs, but yet they don't know what they are. Ceratopsians, another picture of my daughter. These are the horns and frills, the ones that had like triceratops here. The ceratopsians means horn head. So all these things, lots of variety. Just like I could put up a picture of all the dogs, the St. Bernards and poodles, chihuahuas. Lots of variety, but they're all about the same. And there's no ancestors of these either. We look at the rocks. The facts are in the rocks. And we look at the rocks, and what do we see? Most of the ceratopsians are found in Cretaceous rocks, late Cretaceous, that top level. Don't believe the years. I'm just putting these on there, the secular, you know, year story. But we find hundreds and hundreds of these things all over Wyoming, all over Montana, in the Cretaceous rocks. And we look down below in the Jurassic rocks where you find the sauropods. You don't see any ceratopsians. There's none. They just appear. All animals, including the dinosaurs, just appear in the rock record because that's the order they were buried in the flood. As your ecological zonation seems to be the key. Because you're burying things at different elevations, you bury different animals, different plants. Things didn't evolve, folks. They just got buried. But if you were not in that ark, you were dead. Only 8 people got on the ark. Noah preached and preached. The ark was salvation. There was plenty of room for more people on that ark. But how many people got on? 8. Couldn't even get the cousins on. You know, just his immediate sons and their wives got on the ark. God had the door open for salvation for years. He is the door of salvation open today through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is our salvation. He's the ark. So we had an early judgment. We're going to have another judgment. But you and I can be washed clean as white as snow if we just ask forgiveness of Christ. That door is open. But the ark could have held a lot more. But when you look at the rocks, what was left behind, the people that didn't get on, the animals that didn't get on, we see that record. They just show up. How about Tyrannosaurus Rex Sue? Has anybody been to Chicago to see Sue? Okay, Sue isn't necessarily a female dinosaur. Okay, Sue was named after Sue Hendrickson, who found it. And in fact, the research I've done shows this is probably a male. The big ones are probably males. There's actually evidence to back that up, but yet they don't tell you that. In the movies, in Jurassic World, the biggest ones are females. That's just made up. The evidence actually shows the one that was pregnant was actually a small T-Rex. Because they have special bone when they're pregnant, they could actually tell. So the ones that really could tell male from female, the few that they can tell, happen to be pregnant, were small T-Rexes, not big ones. So the bigger ones probably were the males, just like the bigger crocodiles are the males, and most animals, the bigger animal. Not always, but the bigger ones are males. But Sue is not necessarily a female. I got a chance to dig in Montana with Jack Horner's crew back in around 2000. Digging on a T-Rex, there's a tooth you can see in the rocks next to that hammer for a scale piece of a T-Rex. This is a small one. This is only 25 foot, not a 40 footer. But you go back to Paul Serino, who's at Chicago. He says, whenever we put the Tyrannosaurs in the history of the theropod dinosaurs, the theropods are the meat eaters, they became meat eaters after the fall of man. He says, they have a long missing record. We're going to find that record one of these days. So if you've ever lost your keys, like I just lost my sunglasses, and it's a really painful time to lose them. I'm looking, I know what I'm looking for, but I can't find them. And that's what these paleontologists have known for 150 years what they're looking for. Ever since Darwin wrote the book, he thought we'd find all these things. He thought he'd find all these ancestors, that the rocks would be full of them. And by the way, Sir Richard Owen, who named dinosaurs, he never believed in evolution through his whole life. He says the fossils don't show evolution. He fought against Darwin until the day he died. The guy that named dinosaurs was not an evolutionist. Whoops, went too fast there. When you look at T-Rexes, there's been over 40 of them now, probably 50. They're all found in late Cretaceous rocks like the Ceratopsians, the horned dinosaurs. But you look below that, there's no T-Rex ancestors at all. There's no half T-Rexes. There's other dinosaurs, but there's not ancestors of T-Rexes. Here's the bottom line right here. Now, lots and lots and lots and lots of zeros. They have all these fossils on the right. But you go to the left trying to find ancestors, they're all zeros. And you think, well, you're just a creationist. You're just saying that nonsense. But I'm looking at the rocks. And I'm looking at what the paleontologists say. And I'm listening to David Weissample. David Weissample has looked at more dinosaurs probably than anybody, or as many. No one's looked at more. He wrote the Dinosauria, which is a book that's like the dinosaur Bible for dinosaur paleontologists. He's the lead author and editor of it. And he says, from my reading of the fossil record of dinosaurs, there's no direct ancestors that have been discovered for any dinosaur species. Any. No for any. He says, alas, my list of dinosaur ancestors is an empty one. So even the paleontologists, when push comes to shove, will admit, we have nothing. We have twigs. We have stories, is what they really mean to tell you. Stories to keep you from God's word as truth, to keep you away from believing God's word. Because they're going, we're the scientists, we know everything. Listen to us. The scientists are coming at you from that worldview of secular humanism, atheism. Not to say all scientists are atheists, but that's where the secular science comes from. It's reared in atheism. And it pushes God out of the story altogether. But it has to twist the truth. So the myth busting too, the facts, all fossils appear in rocks without ancestors. Even the very beginning of when we see fossils, the Cambrian explosion, is still a mystery to science. They don't know why suddenly trilobites show up, fully formed with eyes. But to those of us that believe the Bible, it's easy. That's the beginning of the flood. And then the flood progressed higher and higher, and you got different animals as the flood progressed along. The fossil record shows stasis and sudden change. Stasis means they don't change. They don't evolve. We see them. They show up in the rocks. They stay the same for a while. Then they disappear. And then you get new animals from different ecological zones coming in, as I'm saying in my research. There's no known ancestors to any dinosaur groups. We talked about that enough. Well, let's move along to our third point. Did dinosaurs evolve into birds? This is the stuff you see in Jurassic World. If they could, they would have put feathers on the velociraptors in those movies. Well, they could now. But when they made the first Jurassic World movie, they didn't have the money to computer animate all those because it cost too much. Now they could do it easily. And so you'll see your TV shows velociraptors with feathers on the arms and all this stuff. So we're going to talk about that. And they actually say dinosaurs are birds. You go to the Field Museum in Chicago, it'll say dinosaurs are birds. You're eating Thanksgiving dinner this year, you're eating a dinosaur. I've actually heard Bob Barker say this with a straight face to a public crowd like this. You know, over and over and over. They really believe this. So let's look at this. Do we really see dinosaurs looking like this? Only in the imagination of the artists. Because there's no fossils that look like this at all. We've got fossil birds, like this, with a bony tail, Microraptor. But it's a little worrisome. Most of these so-called dinosaurs with feathers, although this is a bird, because if you stretch the legs out, it falls over. You know, dinosaurs and birds walk differently. Birds, the thighs are inside the body, and they walk on their knees, kind of. Dinosaurs walk from the hips. So if you pull the legs down this thing, it kind of falls over frontward. So that kind of shows the anatomy does show this is a bird, even though this is called a dinosaur, a feathered dinosaur. There are no feathered dinosaurs that aren't disputed by at least other secular scientists and by us as creationists. But this is a bird. But again, unfortunately, most information comes from one location in China. And the Chinese have faked many, many things. But let's get back to that. Peter Wellenhofer, curator of the museum in Germany, Munich, where they found a lot of dinosaurs and birds. He says, there's a problem. Are these dinosaurs with feathers? The other possibility would be that they are not dinosaurs. They're very primitive birds. So there's a problem. So he admits that there's still debate on this, whereas most scientists will say, no, these are just dinosaurs. And there's even creation scientists that are saying that these are dinosaurs. Because the truth is kind of murky. They don't reveal the whole truth, and where they do reveal the truth is stuff coming from China, which, as you'll see, there's been fraud. 1999, this came out in National Geographic magazine. Archaeoraptor, this was proof. We finally found the missing link between dinosaurs and birds. We got a half bird, half dinosaur. Some of you remember this. They bought it at a rock and gin show in Tucson. Isn't that in this state? They bought it for $75,000, I believe, in 1999. At a rock and mineral show in Tucson, and they named a new species. I'm like, you do not do that. I wrote National Geographic, and I said, this is bad science. You don't name something unless you pull it out of the ground yourself. And they ignored my letter. And then a few months later, they CT scanned this, and they realized Archaeoraptor was half bird, half dinosaur, because it was half of a bird glued to half of a dinosaur. And the CT scan, you can see in red is the bird and in black is the dinosaur. So it really was half bird, half dinosaur, but it wasn't the same species. It wasn't even the same animal. They glued them together and fooled all the paleontologists of the world because the Chinese are good. They know what gets them the most money. Timothy Rowe, who CT scanned this at the University of Texas, said, "It, Archaeopteryx, is built from a new species of a Cretaceous bird and a new species of a dromaeosaur, which is what a velociraptor is. Because it's a clever use of materials. Very, very creative. But you got to watch everything that comes out of China. If you don't pull it out of the ground yourself, why make a TV show that aired for an hour on National Geographic? You know, why put it on your front cover in your magazine as a new missing link if you don't verify it yourself? Mistakes are made because they are sloppy. Second case, this is just another example. There's probably hundreds and hundreds of these. The Chinese themselves went around their museums and found that 80% of their fossils, their marine fossils, were fakes in their own museums. So I worry that most of these are coming from one spot in China. Here's another one. They CT scanned this one. They found it was glued onto another piece of rock. There's air bubbles and grout and pieces of metal in there. That didn't come in the rocks. You know, those are added in. Humans were modifying these, making them look good. This is a true bird, Archaeopteryx. Those are real feathers. Just like the first one I showed you. This is not a dinosaur, this is a bird. Everybody, even Paul Sereno, I heard him speak. He said, this is a bird. I was like, that's good. This, they say, are feathers. Proto-feathers, they call them. See those little hair-like things coming off? Sinoceropteryx. Can you say Sinoceropteryx? Sinoceropteryx? Because you're falling asleep, I thought I'd better get you a little involved here. Proto-feathers. Well, again, go back. Real feathers. Proto-feathers. They found 11 of these now, so they're pretty well verified. But this thing, they've only found one or two. But these, to me, are not feathers. And these may just be collagen that oozes off. A scientist actually took a dolphin and squished it into a bunch of sediment, oozed it off, and he made that same hair-looking stuff coming off just from the collagens in the skin of the dolphin. So it's probably just collagen that got compressed really fast. But they don't look like these flight feathers. And Sereno used these same two examples. He said, look, here's a bird, here's a dinosaur with feathers. I'm like, well, where's the feathers? I don't see them. Stephen Brissett, this is from an article in Scientific American in 2015. The headline of the article said, new feathered dinosaur. And he says, the bones of these species are covered in a thick, feathery fluff, not the quill pen feathers of living birds, but simpler filament-like feathers that look like hair. So the headline says, feathered dinosaur, and you read the text, and it's like, well, it looks like hair. It looks nothing like a feather. Peter Wellnoffer, again, from Germany, said this. He says, sometimes science needs a headline, a nice headline, feathered dinosaur, things like that, in order to get attention in the end, to get financial support, because that's what gets them money. If you're a scientist, you've got to get money to keep your job at the university, and you've got to get publications. You need grants. The universities want money. You pull in grants, you get money. So they feathered dinosaur, gets a publication, then you get a bad chance of getting grants. And so it's all about following the money trail, unfortunately. Biggest problem is this. To me, as a geologist, this is ignored. It annoys me the most. Rocks don't lie. Remember that. Rocks don't lie. People do. The rocks reveal this. They say that dinosaurs are actually the most bird-like, ones that kind of resemble birds a little bit, are found in Cretaceous rocks. Well, the Archaeopteryx, that feathered bird that we looked at a little earlier, is found in Jurassic rocks. So if you believe evolution and to believe these age dates, you're looking at, you know, 40 million years of time. We have birds here. And then 40 million years later, these are the most bird-like dinosaurs that are supposed to evolve into birds. Does that make sense? Let me diagram it out for you. They're called ghost lineages. With a straight face, you can read about this. So dinosaurs that are somewhat bird-like in their general anatomy are found in Cretaceous rocks. Below that, in their time, 40 million years, in the Jurassic, are found Archaeopteryx. So how do they do it? Well, they dash a line down from the dinosaurs down to the Triassic or something. And then they dash a line down from the bird to the Triassic or something and say, oh, there's an unknown ancestor down here we haven't found. It's the ancestor to both. They branched off the birds and the dinosaurs. Dashed lines in geology mean you don't know what you're doing. You're making it up. And that's why they're called ghost lineages. How many ghosts are there out there? You know, these guys believe in ghosts. It's just amazing that they actually make this up with a straight face and tell you that, oh, that's not a problem. We just haven't found it yet. They've been looking for 150 years, and they haven't found any of them yet. But now they got another story they're telling you. Gunter Vial says this, the dinosaurs in China are not the ancestors of birds, of course. They can't be, he says, because they are later than Archaeopteryx. This is just what I told you. Archaeopteryx found Jurassic. These Chinese fossils are found in the Cretaceous rocks above it. There must have been older dinosaurs with feathers, yet we haven't found any evidence for them, unfortunately. So they have dashed lines where they make up stuff. And they call it science. And they get away with it because they have the microphone. You know, we're trying to wrestle it away. Myth-busting three of the facts, dinosaurs did not evolve into birds. Birds are buried in rocks before these so-called bird-like dinosaurs. Some bird-like dinosaurs are just flat-out hoaxes, fakes and frauds to make more money. So you don't have to worry about seeing this dinosaur crawling around. You guys look scared now in the front row. It's not because I'm spitting. Am I spitting too far? All right. Forward, last one. Are dinosaurs really millions of years old? Let's look at that. Because this really holds a lot of people up. You know, they think, well, they date these rocks and they're millions of years old. Well, let's look at what do the dinosaur bones really show. What's in those bones? What they found since 2005, there's been 73 scientific peer-reviewed papers in journals all over the world. And this was the very first one by Mary Schweitzer, who found in a T-Rex, they accidentally broke open, and she dissolved away some of the bone, dissolved away all the bone, and she found what was left was this soft stuff. So we'll open this video clip of work here in a minute. But soft tissues, or original proteins and cells, and blood vessels, and blood cell, red blood cell-like things, they won't quite admit those yet, but they admit all the others. Physical chemists will tell you these things can't last millions of years. They can't even last 1 million years. Under the best conditions. And many of these proteins can't even last, you know, 10,000 years. These things are sitting out in Montana, folks. Right at the surface, freezing, thawing, freezing, snow, rain, you know, 100-degree heat in the summer, minus 50 in the winter. Different than Phoenix, but it gets 100 up there. These things can't, how do they survive even thousands of years is what's amazing since the flood, let alone supposedly millions of years. So let's see what happens here. Hopefully this will work.
To dissolve away the outermost layer of mineral, but the acid worked too fast and all the mineral dissolved away. Being a fossil, there should have been nothing left, but there was, and it was elastic, like living tissue.
This is the piece.
No.
She showed us video she took under the microscope.
That's really what happened?
Yes.
That's the dinosaur bone?
Without mineral now. That's what was left.
It looked like the soft tissue she would have expected to find if it had been modern bone. This was impossible. This bone was 68 million years old.
So you see this, and you think, what? You
say, I didn't want to tell anybody.
You'd be ridiculed,
yes.
Right?
And so I said to my technician, okay, do it again. I don't believe it.
And yet, in sample after sample, they were there. Things that looked suspiciously like flexible, transparent blood vessels. She finally mustered the courage to tell Jack.
She said she dissolved the bone away and there were blood vessels. And, you know, I was like, shocked.
How could that be?
How could that be? That's right. Mm-hmm.
The things Mary was finding inside dinosaur bones.
Look at that.
Blood vessels and even what seemed to be intact cells pose a radical challenge to the existing rules of science that organic material can't possibly survive even a million years, let alone 68 million. Mary, Jack, and their team published their...
Well, they published it in Science, and then they were immediately attacked by many other scientists who said, you guys must be made a mistake. It must be all contamination. Or there's people that still argue these are biofilms, you know, modern-day biological things that are mimicking the shapes of these things. But they've tested them over and over and over with really detailed chemistry, you know, the highest technology we have, and they show these things are real. They match up with exactly the same proteins we find in animals today. And a lot of the bacteria don't even make those proteins. And so these things are real. And they've had 73 papers of these things now. And they still can't explain any way how they can be more than a million years old. Let alone 68 million, or in this case, 195 million years old. Just last year they confirmed these are true blood vessels. You can see the blood vessel. Those black dots are the red blood cells. They won't quite admit the red blood cells yet, but they admit these are actually, and you can see the other cells that look like little swimming fish down there. Those are the osteocyte cells, the bone-making cells. And they see this over and over and over. 73 papers now have been published since 2005. Yet the scientists still won't admit that these things can't be that old. They're just trying to figure out, well, how are they preserved? And they won't give up on the story even when the facts hit them in the face. There's lots of evidence of human interaction with dinosaurs. This is often suppressed. There's whole books on this you can look up, written by other creationists. There's lots of post-flood artifacts. Behemoth itself, to me and most of our creation scientists, we think is probably some sort of long-necked sauropod dinosaur, maybe like Seismosaurus. You read through the text what it says. In Job 40, it says, "Behold, now Behemoth, which I made you through, eats grass like an ox. Strength is in his loins, his force in the muscles of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar." Tail like a cedar. There are people out there like Hugh Ross that don't think this was a dinosaur. You know, he kind of ignores the tail like a cedar part in his commentary on Job. Well, if you get a tail like a cedar, you're not a hippopotamus. You know, you're not some little thing with no tail hardly at all. Bones are like bars of iron. To me, it sounds just like a big sauropod dinosaur. God was showing, I made this along with you on day six, he says, along with humans on day six. But they used to scoff at the eating grass. Said, oh, dinosaurs didn't eat grass. There was no grass in the Cretaceous. Well, in 2005 again, same year their first soft tissue hit the, you know, news media, hit the scientific paper, they found grass in dung from sauropod dinosaurs, fossilized dung in India. So then we're like, oh, there was grass. The Bible was right all along. The Bible is never wrong. We think it's wrong. But, oh, the Bible's wrong here. Oh, the Bible's wrong there. There's no grass. Can't be a dinosaur. Well, there is grass with the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs were eating grass. The sauropods were eating grass, even in the Cretaceous. Bible's right all along. You can see carvings, the Narmer palette. I'll try to draw it out there for you. In Egypt, animals that walk erect here, they're not sprawling with big, long necks, big, long tails. You can look at the Mesopotamian cylinder. When they stretch it out and roll it out, you can see these big, long-necked animals that look like sauropods. Notice the legs are coming straight down. That's what dinosaurs do. How do they know how to draw these things if they didn't see these things thousands of years ago? Two sauropods here, Carlisle Cathedral in the UK, 1478. Carved on this grave. Big long necks. How did they know what these looked like when you didn't discover dinosaurs, any dinosaurs, until 400 years later? Nguyen, this is my favorite from the Cambodian temple, Angkor Temple in Cambodia, 11th century. To me, it looks identical to a stegosaurus. You get the plate sticking up on the back, the fan shape to the animal. The most amazing thing about stegosaurs, one of my favorite dinosaurs, is that their back legs were long, and so they made a fan shape. So they turned sideways, they looked really big. Head on, they were pretty skinny. So I think that's what scared away their predators. God designed them to look this fan shape so they could look really, really big. And that's exactly what they put in that carving. Along with that carving, they have monkeys, lions, you know, other regular animals. They just carved this one because that was a regular animal that they saw in Cambodia in the 11th century. So when you look at the facts, you can squeeze out all that water, all that uniformitarianism water in our sponges. You know, soft tissue creates great problems for the evolutionists, but it's not a problem if you believe God's word, if you believe the world was created 6,000 or so years ago, if you believe there was a global flood about 4,500 years ago. It's not a problem to find all those original tissues in there because they're only thousands of years old, not millions. Fossils don't take long to form, they just take the right conditions. The flood provided those conditions. The flood provided the perfect conditions to make fossils. Fossils are rarely, 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 you can say it a few more times, made today. You know, you need extreme conditions to bury things rapidly to make a fossil. And even the secular scientists admit that. You need to be rapid and deep. The flood just takes the right conditions. So these poor dinosaurs would probably swam as long as they could. And the waves kept getting bigger, and there's actually evidence of dinosaurs being swept away, and their footprints kind of disappear as the water came in a couple of places in the world. Fossils just need the right condition. The flood provided those conditions. Again, no tail draggings, race steps right together. So, to conclude, dinosaurs are buried rapidly in the flood. The flood provided those perfect conditions. Dinosaurs did not have ancestral forms. Did we see anything that had an ancestor tonight? Did anybody, any of the scientists say we have an ancestor in anything? Well, they say they do, and then when they come right down to it, no, we have nothing. We have twigs or nothing at all. Dinosaurs did not evolve into birds. What they're claiming are birds, or generally are, you know, birds, and there are dinosaurs. Remember, birds are made on day five. The day before, dinosaurs are made on day six. So God made them the opposite of what science is trying to tell you today. So if you're one of those people that think, well, the days were just really long periods of time, well, then you have a problem with how come the moon and the stars were made on day four, a day after the plants on day three, and then you got dinosaurs on day six and birds on day five. Those are total opposites to the way the secular world lies to you and tells you they evolved. God's word is true, just like this grass, the behemoth ate grass. God's word is true that Jesus lived and died and rose again. But if you don't believe about Adam and Eve, if you don't believe there was a flood, which Jesus talked about, you know, what parts of the Bible are you going to cut out? You're going to, you know, believe the whole thing, because that's God's word to us. Why just ignore the beginning of the Bible and just concentrate on the New Testament? A lot of people tell me, well, I just believe in the New Testament. Well, that's great, but the New Testament is based on what happened in the Old Testament. Without that original sin by Adam and Eve, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need the second Adam. You need the first Adam to make the second Adam essential in our way of salvation today. In the back, Chad's already talked about this. I have my book on Dinosaurs, Marvels of God's Design. I'll sign it. I got a pen. It's all black on the inside, so I have to have a special pen to sign it. But I happen to bring that with me tonight. So you can, it's not a problem at all. It's got a lot of good science, but the pictures in there are suitable even for the younger kids. But we have younger books and stuff as well. But those video clips you saw tonight, other than Mary Schweitzer's, the silent clips, were off in this video series, which are well narrated and made. And these are four 22-minute videos. Wonderful video set. If I go back a little bit, this also talks about my research across North America and where dinosaurs lived and why you don't find dinosaurs in Grand Canyon. You can go up there all you want. You won't find any dinosaurs. You can go to Michigan. You won't find any dinosaurs for the same reasons. And this book explains why. You find the dinosaurs in Colorado and New Mexico and Wyoming, but not in Grand Canyon because they didn't live there. There was no land at the time. That was part of the ocean, I believe. And I explained that a little bit in this book. So anyway, the video series is wonderful because it's if you don't want to read a book and you want to just put it in and watch the dinosaurs and climb around like you saw, it's really neat. And this is the book that Chaz talked about. If you don't buy anything else tonight, you know, I make my college students at a Christian school, at the one class I teach, buy this to supplement their secular text. Anybody going to college should be equipped with this book. It's $10. We should be charging $30. I didn't write any of it. They wrote it just before I showed up at ICR 5 years ago. But it covers astronomy. It covers biology, the genetics, that we are not like chimpanzees as much as you're lied to. We're only about 85% like a chimpanzee, not 98%. They only looked at the most common parts. This book explains that. And explains how the universe can't be that old either. There's lots and lots of evidence that the universe is young. And this points it out. And then there's a younger book back that some of you have already saw. This is more for the grade school kids, upper L, or smaller ones yet. It's all pretty good. It's done by our editorial staff, illustrated by our own graphic artist, Susan Windsor. And then this is the video that just came out literally 2 days ago. You can be the first to own it, of my lecture on the flood and all the rocks where I plot up all the rocks across three continents. And I'll show you how the exact same thing was happening in every continent. I can show you where the dinosaurs are in every continent and why. Because that's where the rocks are being buried. You can see where Grand Canyon's buried, that area is flooded first. And then it was later the dinosaurs were buried in the rocks because they lived a little higher ground. And that's what I'm finding out in this particular video. It's about a 40-minute video, a little shorter than this one. But it really shows the truth of the flood, that there really was a global flood. Because you've got the same thing happening on every continent. Four continents now. This shows the last three that are complete. But it's an amazing story because it really does show God's word is truth. There really was a global flood. And it's not quite what the secular guys tell you. The rocks tell the real story. This is looking at just the rocks, plotting the rocks that are there. Anybody else could do the same research if they want to spend 5 years plotting up the data, putting in a database. You'd get the almost 85 to 90% the same answer. A little bit of interpretation. But all I do is plot up the rocks. And the rocks reveal there was a global flood. It was one big rise. You can see every continent gradually floods over and over and over. And then you're going to see a video clip of this in a minute about our new Discovery Center that we're building in Dallas, which should be open next April. It's going to have a full-size, actually I think it's bigger than life, T-Rex that growls and roars and moves around, animatronics. State-of-the-art stuff. Better than any museum you've seen in the entire world. This is going to have the top technology in it. And we're still looking for a little bit of money to finish it off. You'll see a video clip of it here in a minute. But this is going to be just outstanding. If you ever come through the Dallas area, you get stuck because the weather's bad and a layover, come over. Our museum, we're only 15, 20 minutes from the airport. It's going to be called the Discovery Center for Science and Earth History. And it's just going to be, again, top-of-the-line thing.